Welcome to this edition of Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. In this weekly show, you'll catch two fund managers who'll share their views on a selection of listed companies both here and overseas. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be notified of new episodes each week. And don't forget that all the views expressed are general in nature and you should seek your own advice before making any decisions of your own. That's all from me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the latest edition of Buy, Hold, Sell.
Hey folks, welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. My name's James Marley, and today we're going to be talking about what is believed to be one of the sweet spots on the ASX. It's not the top 20, it's not the microcaps. We're going to be talking about mid-cap stocks today. It's where a lot of the growth companies exist. Joining me to talk about mid-caps, I've got Will Mumford from AusCap and Tim Reardon from Blackwattle. Gents, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Tim, I'm going to start with you. No growth, tired old businesses in the top 20. We keep telling we need to move out of there. Small cap index has only done about a bit over 4% over the long term. Why is it that mid caps is the point of interest in the Australian market?
Actually didn't realise this until we dug into some of the numbers. And you've seen mids over 5, 10 and 15 years well and truly outperform both large and small caps. Yep. Bit of a surprise. Think, okay, what's the catch? Well, it's not volatility either. So mids have done that with the same vol as small caps. So from a risk adjusted perspective, you're getting this just this huge bang for buck in mids. Yeah. That's history. What about the future? So the way to think about it is you sort of touched on it with the analogy of the top 20. You've sort of seen those companies, they're sort of more stalwarts. Small's probably harder to find consistent winners, but a lot of those businesses are where we kind of look to start and grow. Yep. Businesses that have found a way to establish themselves. And then it's really that mid space, particularly the ones we're looking for, have got some quality attributes to them, so they've found a way to establish themselves with some sort of advantage. And it gives them this foothold, and we're often seeing even businesses founded here in Oz are starting to grow globally. And so that opportunity set is really, really rich and wide, and the runway can be really quite long. Yep. So yeah, that's what we think is special about it.
Okay. Will, over to you. Can you give us some, first of all, for viewers, can you give us some definition around what is the mid-cap space, what size companies, the top 20 to the, outside the 20 to the 100, define the universe for us. And maybe you can build on what Tim's told us. What are some of the attributes that you like about the mid-cap space?
Yeah, sure. Well, I agree with everything that Tim said. And there's a few ways you can define mid-caps, but most people would say maybe outside the ASX 20 down to, say, the 100. Yeah. For example, if you were to look at the mid-cap index, which is 51 to 100, and like Tim said, over 5, 10, 15 or 20 years, that's come first, large caps have come second, and small caps have come third in terms of performance. And I think there are, and actually the only exception to that is the last couple of years where large caps have outperformed due to a really strong 2022, which perhaps creates another opportunity for mid caps. And I think there are two reasons here. The first is quality. So if you were to look at the All Ords and divide it up by 10-year average statutory historical ROE, the ASX 100 is where you've got the highest ROE on average. And that includes both the large and mid caps. So the small caps, you can obviously have these huge winners, but at the same time, you've also got businesses that are unproven, pre-profit, and aren't leaders in their field, and are perhaps at a competitive disadvantage. So on aggregate, that index underperforms, even though it trades at a PE premium. But the real reason for mid-cap shine is earnings growth. So over the last decade, mid-caps have grown earnings at about 7.5%. That's more than double, both large and small caps. And like Tim said, if you look at the ASX 20, two-thirds of that index is either a major bank exposed to Chinese iron ore demand or exposed to the flat to declining long-term profile for oil and gas.
Well, it sounds pretty rosy so far. Can't all be good news about the mid-caps. What are some of the red flags and things people need to look out for? And what are some of the techniques that you use to identify those mid-caps you want to own?
Sure. Well, like I said, the mid-caps over-index in businesses that are consistently profitable, have good financial metrics, and have earnings growth. So I think if you can fill a portfolio with stocks with those characteristics, and then be mindful of insider alignment, balance sheets, as well as valuation, I think you're off to a huge head start. In terms of issues to avoid, well, I think it's important to have a high bar. So I'd be avoiding stocks with the opposite characteristics, and also stocks where, one, I'm not confident in the long-term growth outlook for that sector. Secondly, where the company has a history of operational challenges and not meeting its own forecasts. And thirdly, companies where they might be large, but they're still at a competitive disadvantage, perhaps to an even larger peer.
Okay. Tim, I'm going to go to you. Same set of questions. What are the things that you need to see that get you excited, that put a mid-cap stock onto your radar? And maybe back it up with some of the things that will strike them off the list.
Yep. So quality is our key driver. From that perspective, we're really trying to hone in on what we think are the highest quality companies in the universe. And so using a scorecard approach, we basically just focus on the top quintile.
Yeah. What are the factors that define?
Yeah, a lot of the characteristics we'll mention. So yeah, agree with a number of those. We're sort of looking for high margins, strong returns from a financial characteristics perspective. And then when you drill down into the sort of the fundamental research, the things that sort of pop up that percolate for us in terms of trying to build a concentrated portfolio of these sorts of businesses will just be alignment in terms of the way the management run the business. And often that comes through with, you know, like an innovation in terms of culture, people who really believe in the business, and you'll often see really low levels of turnover.
What's an example of a company that has those attributes?
I always go back to car sales. So that's always been a solid for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the, like, sort of, again, the same as Will, the opposite is true for the red flags. Like, what are you not looking for? We're seeing inconsistency in terms of the attributes that we're looking for. That's, you know, that makes it harder for us to stack that up. I think one of the key learnings we've learned over time looking for high quality businesses is really seeing that businesses that are in the third and fourth quartile from a quality perspective, we might, as an analyst, come up with a story around how they're going to improve over time, this big turnaround thesis. The number of times we've got that right versus the number of times we've got that wrong is way on the wrong side of the ledger. That's really reinforced just focusing on the very high quality businesses, and it's just a lower probability.
So don't bank on the turnaround.
It's hard work.
Yep. Okay. What about, you've talked a little bit about alignment. How important is it to you to have one of these founder-led businesses? We talked, you know, groups like Jamie Ferris, you know, Corporate Travel is a classic example. Yep. Saw Xero was, you know, founder-led for a really long period of time. I would imagine they're classic mid-caps.
Yeah.
Is it a deal breaker? Is it a must-have?
It's probably a nice to have.
Yep.
I could say we're sort of happy to have a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B in terms of founders, not founders.
Yep.
It really goes back to alignment. And so can we see from the board through management and the strategy, is there alignment with the way the strategy is presented and what's likely to be achieved? And are we feeling aligned as a shareholder? And so I think the key things that sort of like can tie that together is often a shareholding.
Yep.
Or some line of sight to some major reward. Yep. Through an LTI and the like. But does it have to be a founder? No, I don't think so. But maybe that's just an easier starting point.
Will?
Yeah, I agree with Tim. Founders and alignment is huge for us. So the majority of both of our portfolios on a weighted basis are either led by a founder or have an executive or board member with at least $10 million worth of stock in the company. That compares to maybe a quarter for the broader index. And it's really just because we want management focused on the long-term earnings outlook and competitive position for the business. We don't want them focused on next half's EPS upgrade or downgrade or pursuing M&A so they can have a bigger empire. And I think the best way to do that is to have someone there, a decision maker, who has a large part of their net worth focused on the long term. Mm-hmm. The other point I'd make is that because of the free float requirements of the index, often founder-led companies get disadvantaged in terms of index inclusion. And some good examples are Reese and WiseTech, which are out of indexes because of their high insider ownership, which we would argue is an advantage.
Could be an opportunity.
Could be.
All right, let's talk specifics. Will, I'm going to start with you. You've got a mid-cap that you think over the medium term, say 3 years plus, can nudge its way into the top 20.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a couple of obvious answers just outside of the 20, but I thought I'd bring a bit of a wild card, and my stock's MinRes. Okay. So the main reason here is that there are a few different ways in which earnings can be meaningfully higher for the business in the coming years. So management have already announced that they're going to triple their mining services business in the next 5 years. They're going to 5x their lithium and iron ore businesses. And that's just what they've announced. And despite this, the stock's gone nowhere for 2.5 years because of the collapse in the lithium price. But right now we're coming into a period that's quite catalyst rich. There's a potential positive decision on exporting gas in WA. There's also the potential for a balance sheet transforming transaction, and the lithium price is finally showing some signs of life. So I think there's a few catalysts there, and there's some asymmetric upside and reasons to believe the business can be meaningfully bigger.
Tim, same question for you.
Yep. You mentioned Xero before.
Yep.
That's mine. Xero at the moment is 25th on the list. Mm-hmm. So it's there or thereabouts. But yep. Index-wise, it's probably got to outperform by about 50% to be promoted, yep. Possibly more. So how does it do that? You mentioned historically led by a founder, and Rod's just recently gone off the board. So what's changed is that over the last couple of years, new CEO has established a broader management team around a change in philosophy. Effectively, the sort of the guiding light is the rule of 40.
Yep.
Effectively, add the growth rate in revenues to the free cash flow ratio and add up to 40. So they're looking for both revenue growth plus earnings growth and growth in free cash, which hadn't been the case before. Yeah, the management team have just recently sort of reviewed and sort of confirmed opportunity is rich in the US, and I think that's a pretty interesting place for us to be. But having said that, the growth in the business together with the push for profitability leaves it with that sort of plus 50% outperformance as a, that's a non-zero probability.
Which stock is it going to replace? What's the top 20 stock that Xero could bump out?
Yeah, so I mean, we don't spend a heap of time up there.
Yep.
But the one we were thinking looks as special is probably South32. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been a tough road. They've had some poor luck, weather and the like. Never great when you get too much rain when you're a miner. But capital allocation is probably the issue we have.
Yeah.
And the most recent example is selling Illawarra Coal. It's a decent returning asset. Coal's on the nose, get yep. that. So there's some peculiarities around that transaction. But if you're going to funnel that money into what we think is a negative IRR zinc mine, just to be part of new metals
the energy transition.
Halo,
yeah.
I'm not sure that makes sense.
Yep. Okay, Will, what's the top 20 stock that MinRes is going to knock out of the index?
Yeah, equally, this isn't something we spend a huge amount of time on, but if you had to push me, I'd go with Santos. Firstly, it's towards the bottom end of the 20. If you look at their own numbers, the long-term outlook for oil and gas demand is flat to negative. Also, a significant amount of their cash flow is either going out as dividends or going back into CapEx to achieve fairly modest production growth. So I can see a scenario where its market cap might move sideways and some of the businesses with more structural growth could overtake it. There's also been some corporate interest there, and so that's the other way it could end up out of the 20.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our mid-cap focus special. Hopefully you learned a few new things about that part of the market and got a few ideas to conduct your own research. If you did enjoy that episode, hit subscribe. Remember, we're adding fresh content just like this every week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis and insights. Register for free online at livewiremarkets.com and you'll discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.